Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Assemblywoman Jill Tolles and State Senator Dallas Harris here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Located in the heart of Carson City, the Bank Saloon, a historic watering hole with a modern feel. With a variety of classic cocktails featuring Nevada spirits, space for private events, conferences, and an incredible atmosphere. The Bank Saloon offers a great location to work and play. Come visit us. Located at the corner of 5th and Carson. We'll save you a drink.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolles Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolles Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room at the Bank Saloon. Coverage of the 2021 Nevada legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Ahern Rentals is ready for your next project. Liberty Dental Plan, making members shine one smile at a time. And Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Carson City. We are taping this on the morning, very early in the morning, thank you ladies, of Wednesday, May the 26th, so you know the time period. So just 5 days before the session ends, we have Assemblywoman Jill Tolles here with us, Republican of District 25, and State Senator Dallas Harris, Democrat of District 11. Pleasure to have you both here. So let me start out with you, Senator. How happy are you with the criminal justice reforms that have passed so far?
I'm ecstatic. You know, I think if you put together the chance of decriminalizing traffic tickets, reforms on use of force, the data collection on not only traffic stops, but use of force statewide, the restraints on no-knock warrants, chance to get rid of driver's license suspensions for fines and fees. I mean, it goes on and on this session. Things that have been brought time and time again are finally getting through. I think we're going to see a lot of people who shouldn't be in jail not going to jail anymore, and that's a win. It's a social policy win. It's a fiscal policy win. And we're looking to, we're going to look to a new system coming out of the session from what we had going in. I'm very much looking forward to it.
What kind of pushbacks did you get?
Oh boy. Well, the kind of pushback that you would expect. The courts are always nervous. Police are always nervous. Criminal justice advocates want a little bit more. But that's a balance that we always have to ride, and I think we did a really good job of it this way, pushing the system as far as we can in one shot, while also making sure we take our time to make sure that everything we need to remain in place does.
Jill, even though you guys are not on the same committees, you're all going to have to vote on the same issues. Mm-hmm. So what were your thoughts on criminal justice reform? Because obviously we've had several DAs on the program. Steve Wolfson was saying that he wants to be part of the solution, but part of the problem. Chris Hicks, the Washoe County DA, said that his biggest nightmare was the legislative session.
Right? There's always fear when we get in this building about how this actually impacts people's lives outside of the building after session's over. But, you know, I've served on judiciary for the first two terms in office. I am not serving on judiciary this session, so I do miss working on these issues more intimately because now I'm on Ways and Means. But I'm also a sister of two law enforcement officers, so I'm always aware of, you know, that those dynamics of how we keep the public safe and yet also how do we respond responsibly to some of the issues that have come up. And I want to just take a moment to say, you know, thank you to a lot of the stakeholders for how much work has been done to reach compromise and to reach some level of agreement for some of these things. Not in every case, but I'm really proud of people for coming to the table as much as they have. And I think that Senator Harris could, you know, certainly agree to how hard some of those conversations have been, how much work and dedication there has been. And, you know, as with any complex legislation, you're going to have people who are going to walk away saying, this didn't go far enough, but I'm proud of them for working with people to say, hey, we want to make sure this doesn't go too far, that we're creating issues with being able to make sure that we ensure the public safe. And I also think that these discussions have brought together really, really unique voices. When you have the ACLU and NPRI coming together on some of these things, you know, just the decriminalization of traffic tickets, I think there's a lot of conversations about systems in place and how certain systems, you know, maybe unintentionally over time created ramifications that keep people in systems of poverty and recidivism. And we've had to really, really come together to dig deeper to ask ourselves, what are ways to help break those cycles? And so on that side of criminal justice reform, I think that those conversations are incredibly valuable and incredibly important. And I think that there's a tension that's built into the system on purpose. And I'm glad that there's been that working through it to find compromise in a lot of areas.
One of the things that I thought was very interesting was when marijuana was decriminalized and legalized in the state, that law enforcement immediately fell off of that wagon and said, there's a change in the law, this is how we're going to deal with it because it's now legal. Do you feel the same way about some of the reforms that have occurred here, that law enforcement is going to react in a positive manner and this is now the law, we're going to move on?
Absolutely. In my discussions with law enforcement, they have always been very clear about what are policy decisions for the legislature to make. And their job is to enforce the law. And so if we choose to decriminalize something, they will then no longer be enforcing that, right? I mean, excuse me, law enforcement's very well aware of their role in society. I think they're even more conscious of it nowadays. And if we as the legislature decide something's no longer a crime, I think they're well prepared to stop enforcing that and move on to other things that are taking up their time, as they get tons of calls about all kinds of things. And so if they don't have to enforce a traffic ticket warrant any longer and arrest someone and take the time to book them, I think they'd be happy to move on.
Let's change the topic to education. I mean, there is a flood of money coming not only into education, but pretty much everything in the state. What's your comfort level with where we are at this point in the discussions?
Well, we've been having conversations about education for a really long time.
Right.
As you know,
yes.
I mean, my whole journey to the legislature was to advocate on, you know, as part of a bipartisan group 10 years ago as a mom and somebody who's been in higher education for now 16 years. I believe education is key to everything we do as a state. It's key to our workforce development. It's key to long-term economic prosperity for individuals. If, from a conservative perspective, if I want to see people not dependent on government or not in our judicial system, right, then we have to invest in preparing this workforce to be contributing members of the economy. It lifts up our entire state. So it was exciting to me to be a part of being on the other side of the dais, to be able to say yes to investing more money into education. We invested $500 million, I believe it was a little over a week ago. However, it's a little bit of a misperception to think that that's all new money that's gonna, you know, lift everything up substantially, because a lot of that was also to address some drastic cuts that we had to take throughout the special session. And it is still a fact that we are 27%. Now, after this investment, I'm waiting to get that new figure, but 27% less than the national average. So it's important for people to know that we're not just flooding education with so much money that that's sustainable for the long term. Some of that is filling in those gaps, and some of it is getting us just inching closer to just even getting closer to average, right? So I think that's important to put that into context, but it certainly was a good day to feel like we were doing more. We also have done quite a bit with the per pupil funding model. There were a lot of kinks that had to be worked out, but I've always been on board with the philosophy that the dollar should follow the student, and that we need to make sure that our monies go to students and student outcomes. And we had a lot of concerns about rurals, and there's been some more recent concerns about how charter schools are made whole in that. And those are continuing to be worked out, but I'm confident that we're getting in that direction where it's a good place to land.
Senator Harris, it seems like the rural Nevada is going to be held harmless with the funding that's in place. But one of the things that was interesting was, when I first started doing this 20 years ago, it was like education needs $1 billion more. Now it's $2 billion more. So we've got $500 million in there, but there's more money coming. It just won't be before the end of the session. Correct.
That's right. And, one of the biggest challenges with this new money is that we can't count on it in perpetuity, right? So how do you take a one-shot appropriation for the most part, and get your biggest bang for your buck? How do we set ourselves up for success with money that's going to be one time, but can help us continue to improve our education moving forward? That's the challenge.
All right, and the solution?
Oh boy, the solution is to get educators in the room. We've got a great superintendent of schools. I know the governor's having a lot of conversations. We need to listen to Nevadans. There's, I'm sure, a lot of ideas out there on how to do it. Infrastructure is a great answer. Maybe we can build a few more schools. It's harder to hire teachers on that money, again, because that is a kind of long-term expenditure, but I think there's a lot that we can do.
The infrastructure idea incorporates obviously broadband, and that would be a huge step forward in so many different ways, but also being able to supply kids with the tools they need, like laptops.
Yeah, so you're speaking to that digital divide that certainly the pandemic exposed at an even broader level of just how many kids and citizens of Nevada need to be connected. And so I think that is absolutely part of the conversation of how we make sure that we've got that technology and that broadband infrastructure. But back to another thing that Senator Harris said as well is, we're still recovering from this brain drain of having students out of the classroom for the most part and doing online distance learning or take home packets. And I know our teachers have, so many of them have just worked harder than they've ever worked in their entire career. I know I'm a teacher myself. I mean, I burst into tears the first week that I had to transition to online. It's not easy. So there's going to be some catch up that we're going to need to do over this summer, having a lot of kids in summer school and then into the next year, to make sure that we replenish some of that learning loss. So that's another part of that one shot that Senator Harris was speaking to, that we're really reinfusing those dollars to get everybody caught up and back to speed.
Some of the problems that occurred with learning from home, this distance learning, psychological problems. Are you optimistic that kids can recover quickly? Because, in most things, it's the adults that have the long-term problems and the kids tend to rebound. Are you optimistic?
I am. Children are resilient. And, we are all social creatures by nature, and so.
You would think so.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure if social includes, doing it by your phone, but.
In general.
That's right.
As humans, we crave social attention, and that's essential to children's development. We know that. And I know that children have been, for those who could, excited to get back into the classroom and already are making those connections again that they were missing. I know that once we get them caught up, at least on the educational component, They'll be back and excited to learn and mingle and develop new social skills. And maybe they'll have a few more computer skills moving forward than they would have had in the past, too.
That's a very good point there. One of the things that's been very interesting is to see the backups on I-15 on Sunday afternoons leaving Las Vegas because so many people are coming in. So that social aspect goes throughout the age chain.
I think it's going to take adults a little bit longer to sort of re-socialize, right? I went to Costco last week, and I was first time that I didn't wear a mask, right? And people were still, you know, kind of spacing out and not sure. We all have to sort of re-socialize. We all just socialized wearing the masks, but now that more people are getting vaccinated and our CDC guidelines are, it's okay not to, you know. We have to sort of re-socialize, re-engaging as adults. But back to the point about resiliency, students, kids, they can bounce back so much faster. I'm really confident that their ability to rebound is going to be way quicker than adults. And being a mother of a senior in high school who just had prom last weekend, there was no problem with just diving right back into that dance floor, getting back out there, reconnecting again. And I think this is going to be a summer of a lot of celebrations. And on that, I will make a plug. Please go get vaccinated. The more people get vaccinated, the more people that get out there, you know, as long as they don't have, some sort of immune response or physical reason, or, you know, there's always going to be people who have that autonomy that this is just not something they're going to choose to do. They have the right to do that. But if you can, you're able, please go take advantage of that because it just leads to more and more great celebrations this summer.
We'll make that a bipartisan plug.
Right, and that's what I was going to ask. Thank you both. We'll take a break. We'll be right back after this timeout.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and YouTube, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Southwest Specialties has been making the homes and businesses of Nevada beautiful for more than 20 years. Their experienced designers and craftsmen create the walkways, backyards, water features, and a variety of outdoor cooking areas that add curb appeal and value to your investment. Call today or visit them at their website and see how they can make your outdoor spaces special. Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
The Do It Right guys at Nevada Heating have one mission. Your furnace breaks down today, we fix it today. Why freeze for days while your furnace is down when Nevada Heating can get the job done today and you can get warm again? For nearly 50 years, locally owned Nevada Heating has been getting the job done right. Call today at 323-5585 and we'll fix it today. That's 323-5585 or online at NevadaHeating.com.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and Twitter, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator Dallas Harris and Assemblywoman Jill Tolles. Senator, the public option moving along rapidly despite ferocious opposition. Where do you think this is going to end up?
I hope at the governor's desk. I said this during the hearing. I'm a firm believer in the private market. When it works, it works, and it can do great things. Competition can lower prices, increase quality of care. I'm convinced at this point that the private market hasn't done enough to get people the type of healthcare that they need. And so when that happens, you need the public option. You need the public to step in. And I think that's true of any almost essential service. When the private market isn't doing it, We need the state government or our federal government to try and offer something that will work for people. Healthcare is so essential.
Okay,
we can't not let people have a reliable, cheap option for them.
All right, but you know, the Medicare option has been available. Sure. So many people have not signed up for that, the Obamacare version. So why do you think the public option is going to do better than what's already out there if people haven't signed up for that?
Well, I find those to be separate issues, right? We need to dig into why those who are qualifying for Medicare or Medicaid are not on the rolls. We need more marketing. We need to figure out how do we get those eligible people on. But we also have this group of people who fall into the middle, where the marketplace is too expensive, they don't quite qualify for Medicare, their employer may or may not offer a reasonable option. And those folks need healthcare too. I think that's where the public option lives.
Jill, your thoughts?
So it's interesting, right before break, we had that conversation about sort of autonomy and choices, and that some people still make choices about their healthcare, and the fact of the matter is that I think a lot of the people that we're talking about currently have options available, but they haven't taken advantage of those. And so I don't know how you ever fix that issue. And so the big question here is, what is the cost versus how many people it would actually be available to, who would take advantage of it? And so I still think that the best approach forward is to continue this conversation, but I know that there's a piece in there referencing actuarial studies, and I think that that's probably the best route to take, is to really, really get those numbers and dive deeper into exactly how many people are you helping, how many people will take advantage of that, and what would be that return on investment and the cost of that for the number of people, the cost versus the benefit.
You know, and this, as you guys are talking, it strikes me that when you brought up marketing, that, you know, you have people, I'm told by the ACLU, 10% of the population of Nevada does not have ID, for example. Mm-hmm. A good portion of the population is not going to get vaccinated. A good portion of the population is not taking advantage of healthcare options that are offered. Yeah. So is marketing a much more important thing than we have perhaps given credence to in the past in terms of helping people get services that are already available for them?
Well, I'll say this. If people don't know services are available, they aren't going to take it up. And so getting the information out there is absolutely essential to the success of any program or any option. And I don't know if we're doing a good enough job at that. I do think we need to make sure people know what is available to them. And we're going to need to do the same thing with the public option once it becomes available. Otherwise, people won't be able to take advantage of these lower healthcare prices either.
Agreed.
I think education is key to getting them to know what's out there, which is why I would say, you know, let's do a better job of letting those people who are not currently adopting what's available to get on board.
Okay, I think I sensed a little disagreement. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Tamarack Casino is giving away two Mercedes-Benz during the $125,000 Benz or Cash Giveaways. Plus, players get 5x points on video reels every Friday. Win two Mercedes-Benz now through May at Tamarack Casino.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. At Design Outdoor, we specialize in all hardscapes, pavers, and walls you'll need for everything, from wonderful small yards to full-blown outdoor living. And we only refer the best contractors to make your vision a reality. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and because I represent men in all family law matters, women often call me gender traitor, woman hater, and even disgusting. So why represent men and target myself with these offensive monikers? It's simple. Children with fathers in their lives are 6 times less likely to drop out of school, 15 times less likely to go to prison, and 5 times less likely to commit suicide. So ladies, you can hate me, but please love your children more than you hate their fathers.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Tamarack Casino is giving away two Mercedes-Benz during the $125,000 Benz or Cash Giveaways. Plus, players get 5x points on video reels every Friday. Win two Mercedes-Benz now through May at Tamarack Casino.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Assemblywoman Jill Tolles and State Senator Dallas Harris. The energy bill has still not voted out yet. Do you think that is going to be a given?
So we're speaking of Senator Brooks' energy bill that he worked in collaboration with NV Energy, right? And so I do believe that passed unanimously on the Senate side, though, if I'm correct.
It did.
So now it's making its way over to the Assembly side, and I believe it's having a hearing today. Today's May 26th. You know, we'll see how that hearing goes, but I do know that there was a lot of work on behalf of all the stakeholders to get that to where it you know, could pass unanimously on the Senate side, so we'll see how it goes on the Assembly.
And Sam, I think you know nothing is a given.
Right.
Well, absolutely. Well, yes, but we don't want to give that away to the audience because they may not know that things that have been killed that suddenly become alive in the last minutes. I mean, we had a session under Kenny Guinn where midnight became 1 a.m. because of daylight savings time.
That's right.
That's where we have to leave it. I thank you both very much for, A, showing up at 7 o'clock in the morning when you've been up so late at night the previous night's working. And thank you very much for supporting our program by being here. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
And we'll be right back.
Ryan Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts. And now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian. And at Ryan Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Penny! Dad? What are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow! This stuff is great! People are gonna love it!
Yes. Yes, they were.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolles Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolles Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
We'll see you on the next broadcast coming to you from the Bank Saloon in Carson City. See you then.